Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rock with us on this Wednesday. Is this Texans team playing like a disciplined team? This feels like an easy answer, but 713-572-4610, because there was a lot of penalties, particularly on the line,
mm-hmm.
And it feels like just in the first couple of weeks as well. It's not an individual week proposition, is it, J-Lo?
Well, it's a simple question: are the Texans playing like a disciplined team? Now, the answer is, I think most of us are going to agree, no, and we'll get into some of the details. But to me, that's almost like, of all the things, like of all the good and bad scenarios that were bouncing around in our heads for this season, did any of us think undisciplined?
I don't think I did, but no. I mean, in seeing it, I do wonder if I should have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because This has been kind of an understanding or a belief when it comes to D'Amico Ryans and his team, is that the standard is the standard and we will meet that. But we had a lot of, this is a little uncharacteristic, moments last year at the very least that, well, I can remember off the top of my head.
You're right. But before you go on, that's more than fair, but I think all of us thought that's getting corrected.
Sure.
You know, the penalties, agreed. Laramie Tunsil's gone, new offensive line system. It's the only, and I'll let you finish, but the only undisciplined, potentially, air quotes here, thing I thought might be a possibility is over-aggression. You know, whether it's Aziz or C.J. Gardner-Johnson, sure, or whatever. That's the only possibility that I had dancing around in my head. And instead, we're seeing a lot more. But go ahead.
No, and that's the thing is, you're right. Like, you had the over-aggression. I think you could make the argument that tackling is also in some ways a disciplined conversation. It's not the way that we typically think of it. We typically think of, like, these penalties or whatever. But, you know, making sure that you hold the proper lanes, making sure that you obviously, like, break down in the way that you need to so you don't fly by a potential tackler, that is also a discipline proposition. And at times last year, tackling was an issue. So it's hindsight for me in some ways. But looking back and going, oh, well, if you add two and two together, well, there's four right there.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that was there. And it shouldn't be as surprising that it still exists. What is frustrating is, again, the time where you hope to correct all these things was training camp, where you have the most opportunity of any other time during the season to, like, drill down and get done what you need to get done. And it feels like there's so many of the things that we've talked about, oh, we can fix this. That was the time, the best opportunity to fix things, and you're coming out of that doing them.
And it seems more than a little frustrating to me, simply because, let me go through some of the things. Like, what does a disciplined team do? What does a disciplined team not do? So the Texans, when it comes to penalties, here going into week three, they rank 22nd in the NFL in penalties, and they have the sixth most pre-snap penalties. I thought that was going to get it. That was going to get fixed. That's one thing. And then next, missed tackles. You touched on this. The Texans right now have the sixth most missed tackles in the league, according to Next Gen. That is a big, big number. Third down efficiency. That's a disciplined team. You know, you can just go down the field, you know, convert third downs. No bad mistakes on third downs. The Texans right now in third down efficiency rank 32nd DFL. according to StatMuse, in third down efficiency.
Is it weird that I also still cringed even though you only said F, like DFL, and I was like, ooh.
Red zone efficiency. Let me give you some red zone. That's a disciplined team, right? Finish the drive. Impose your will. Get it in the end zone. The Texans currently ranked 32nd in the NFL in red zone efficiency with a 0.0% success rate. They're 0-for in the red zone.
Man.
How about time of possession? That's a disciplined team. Disciplined teams know how to just move those dang chains, do your job, take what you're offered, you know, et cetera, et cetera. They ranked 26th in time of possession, and they got worked in time of possession on Monday night, 37 and change to whatever the difference is. But basically two-thirds of the game, the ball was in Tampa's hands. So when you look at all these penalties, missed tackles, third down efficiency, red zone efficiency, time of possession, all of them, they look like an undisciplined team. I don't care what anybody says. That's a surprise to me.
Yeah, I mean.
And what is the point?
Well, I mean, that's one of those things that we always lay at the doorstep of the head coach, mm-hmm. right? And the buck stops with me mentality and conversation points has been one that D'Amico has had. And so we'll hold, I think we have to hold true to that. I don't disbelieve that he is setting it out here. I'm kind of astonished, though, that you have not seen like the fullness of that discipline show up, right? I know that on offensive line, maybe you could say some of this is the challenge that they have, but that's part of execution, and that's something that we need to get. But I think you can also, on the same side, point to the idea that if we're really examining ourselves, how much was the expectation that we actually had for mm-hmm. them to get all of that right? Not saying that that should be the way that the case is, but hey, that it is what it is.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, John Lopez.
Thank you.
Defense is the thing that is really surprising, is seeing a defense that is not all that disciplined, especially because this is an older defense on average age, right? Like, you've got a lot of guys that mm-hmm. are veterans. Now, of course, I guess you could talk about the younger guys that you have within this. Sting is relatively young, but then you can absolutely talk about your second-year guys and Kamari and Kalen Bullock, and then you have some guys that are, like a third-year guy and Jalen Petrie. You have a lot of guys mm-hmm. that are relatively young that you're also still in here, but this is a pretty advanced age defense, especially for per snaps, and you don't expect them to have as many lapses as they've had. I do wonder how much for the defensive side, the lack of discipline is the feeling of pressure that they have because of the what they got to carry. That's fair. That they have to carry.
Yeah, no, that's more.
Not
than
that
fair.
That excuses it, mind you.
Right.
But I'm just wondering how much that would factor in.
All right. So what is fixable? Penalties, missed tackles, third down efficiency, red zone efficiency, time of possession. Where is it fixable here? Because I frankly feel like the missed tackles has got to be at the top of the list. They're not a great tackling team. As you pointed out last year, they weren't fantastic.
They had issues.
They
with
weren't
it.
Awful.
Yeah,
but they weren't. I gotta believe they're going to get better there. And the penalties, they showed a little improvement week one to week two, but still had trouble. So maybe the penalties, you know, those are the things that can be fixable. Yeah. I don't know about third down efficiency and red zone and all that, simply because of the system, you know, and what we're seeing from the offense.
And also because they continue to come back to the idea that we just got to stay on schedule. Mm-hmm. And all it takes to knock off schedule is one little thing here or there. It did feel like, and I mean, we can look at this analytically. There was progress from week one to week two, even when we talk about staying on schedule to some degree. The pressure ends up being an issue no matter what. Third down, I hope as the offense gets more, as it progresses, they get to a place where they can get better at that. That one is going to be a little bit more of a long burn or slow burn. I do believe that you're right when it comes to tackling, and you should be right when it comes to pre-snap penalties.
Mm-hmm. You should get better.
Because, I mean, one of the penalties that you had was a legal motion where, if I am correct, you had Jakob Johnson and Hutchinson mm-hmm. also moving, not Hutchinson, Higgins moving at the same time. And that, I'm guessing, because you have Jakob Johnson doing his motion and he goes immediately and he has a guy to block. Higgins is just kind of moving on the outside, and I do wonder if that was Higgins not knowing the right motion, and then he moves when he's not supposed to. Boom, now that's a whistle where we're going backwards. Those are things that are a familiarity with what you're doing, with your intention of the play is, that I think you will get just inherently over more time.
Or as simple as communication. Either the quarterback or the receiver heard something different, but it still needs, I mean, it's basically, I mean, to have two guys moving at the same time in the same direction, which was interesting, that's just inexcusable. I don't know, man. Of all the things I thought might be a trouble spot, we talked all preseason about line and such. I didn't think this team would be sloppy.
Yeah, and that's a frustrating thing that adds to, and that's why we're mostly frustrated. I think there was, again, expectations that you were going to take a little bit of time to develop offensively, but your starting point would be better. Your defense would be able to hold you up while your offense reached the level. But because you add sloppiness, you can't hit your narrow margin of error, and now you're losing games that you probably should win. That's where the frustration pops up. I do believe that these are things that can be fixed. I think the question becomes, how quickly can you fix them more than anything?
And I think the question also points to, because these are all things that a good disciplined team, a well-disciplined team, does well. These are also good things that good quarterback play can fix. Like, above average, you don't have to be great. Good quarterback play can make the read. We were talking about Mina Kimes and Dan Orlovsky just doing the wrong things, looking at the wrong things, counting the wrong number of players, or not counting, setting the blocking right for the number of players that you counted. A lot of this ultimately, and it always does, comes back to C.J. Stroud makes the right call, makes the right adjustment, makes the right play. Then all of this gets better. And so it does come down to Stroud as well, but that speaks to his confidence in the offense, his ability to adapt and get better with it, et cetera.
If we're talking about CJ, though, like that, is that not yet another thing that we lay at the feet of CJ to go ahead and, take advantage of? Like, we're in the place where we're now baking into the expectations Hero Bowl, right? Like, I think that.
But I don't think it needs to be Hero Bowl.
Uh-huh.
Like, just the right, like those film, that film that we were talking about earlier, that was really easy stuff. It's like, they got 7, we got 6, let me bring a guy in to help. That's,
or at least make sure that the other one, hot, something like that.
The other one, remember when Anthony Richardson got roasted for not seeing the little dump off? It was a sack, but it wasn't as egregious. There was one that they pointed out, C.J. Stroud didn't see the same dang thing. He did not see where he needed to put the ball soon enough. That's bad. Like, you need a basic dump off on a blitz, and you don't know where to put the ball?
Yeah, I mean,
or hesitated.
Do it seem like that could be a mental thing right there? Because
yes,
we didn't have that. He didn't go through that in his first year.
Reggie's pointed it out a couple of times, like the almost over-processing.
Oh, there's absolutely a ton of things that he's clearly having to think about. And I think that's why we've talked about, like, the easy button. That's why you need to have some easier answers to help him get into a rhythm and get to the right spaces. Of course, the responsibility still remains on him when a play is there to be made to make it, which he did not do enough. Never want to obscure that point.
Mm-hmm.
But there obviously are more things to make it easier. And I think also some of those things take you into a place where you can either overcome mistakes that can come up, because, of course, no one is perfect. But I think you also give yourself an opportunity to not be in some of the places that create mistakes, right? If you're in a third and long and the situation is, I know that they're sending extra and here comes this blitz that we're going to have to try and pick up.
Mm-hmm.
We might not pick it up and I might be behind and I might reach out and hold in order to try and give my quarterback an extra, like the want to there.
Sure.
But you create a penalty, right? I think those are the things that also factor into the discipline, putting yourself in a good game script. Ultimately, like, this is something that I wish I could give you. I don't think that I have much of a tangible grasp on. I believe in D'Amico's ability to motivate his guys. Like, he seems to be a deeply charismatic guy that cares about his team, and they parrot the messages. It seems like it doesn't go in one ear and out the other. It seems like they really take it to heart. We just need to see it fully on the field, and I think that is translated. That's a challenge for the fellas, man. Like,
it's a challenge for these
players.
Yeah, they do take it to heart. You can tell they're all bought in. They got he and Nick Sirianni are both talking about they've got the right guys, and they feel good about that. Well, translate it to the field now, because it's not like they don't buy in. It just doesn't look like it's working on the field.
Yeah, it's just surprising, honestly, that you have a team that at least, and I know that someone texted in, like, not everything that you listed was like something that specifically speaks to discipline, but you can go back to at least using the word sloppy, even if it's not particularly disciplined, and you need to get down to the brass tacks and get down to your P's and Q's, make sure that everything is accounted for the right way. And this is kind of a wild week because it is a common opponent, so at least you have some early prior scouting and some familiarity there. But on the other end, it's a shortened week.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do they come out of practice? How on point are they?
Yeah.
Because you're going to need to be that in order to go up against a Jacksonville team on the road and get a victory.
Look, and as far as like the discipline, I think all these are, because third down efficiency, our red zone efficiency, let's look at the two plays that they missed on. you know, whether it was being, you know, disciplined enough to get the ball to the right spot, knowing where Nico was going on the one on third down, fourth
that's,
down.
That's such a tough throw. Well, no, it's a throw that he can make, so I want him to make it. I want to say that. It's such a bad situation.
But it wasn't just about inaccuracy. It was about knowing where you guys are, where the other receiver is. And then the fourth down one was just kind of a mess from the offensive line. I mean, that to me, a lot of that is just the discipline of knowing what the down and distance is.
Regardless, they need to be more on their P's and Q's. And honestly, even if you don't speak to those things in particular, the discipline does get you in better places. And simply, and coming back to the one that I think we were both the highest on, breaking down when you need to make these tackles, like you've got to be able to
miss tackles, penalties,
like miss tackles and being on your assignment. I think also there's something to be said when we talk about discipline, which is triggering at the right time. The guys at the linebacker spot, like it felt like they were waiting so much, and maybe that's the coaching point. I'm not in that meeting room, and I don't have any understanding of what they're going for. But it felt like there was just so much. There was so much more latency from the linebackers or from really a lot of defenders than getting downfield, where it feels like they played faster and with more in purpose and intent last year and maybe even last week than they did this week. I don't know. We'll see what they have this week when they face off against the Jaguars, but still, things that we're hoping that this team gets back in line. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's about that time where we hand things off to Figgy Fig for the mixtape. What you got, man?
Yeah, so I got a drunken driver who claimed her husband was driving, but he wasn't even in the car. Plus, a former boxer kicked off of a show for being a little too disrespectful.
Huh.
Okay.
On the set.
I'm trying to figure out this feels like a riddle. How is he not in the car? Let's get the answer next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday to everyone out there. Just imagine a drunk driver getting pulled over, and she said her husband was driving, but it was nobody else in the car.
I actually can't imagine that.
Yeah,
I could see where that would happen.
Very much sounds like something.
So this was a wild one. It was a 24-year-old woman in Tampa who got arrested for drunk driving after she drove the wrong way on the interstate and sideswiped a cop car. So first of all, thankfully, everyone was okay. Nobody was hurt or anything like that. That could have went very, very, very ugly. But she tried to claim her husband was driving, and he wasn't even in the car. So here is the interaction from the police and the young lady who was drunk. This is courtesy of the body cam, too. So this is the raw audio. This ain't news or anything. Yeah. This is the raw audio right here. And this is how the interaction went.
Do you realize that you're going the wrong way on the interstate?
On this interstate?
Yeah, do you see all these lights coming towards us? Look straight ahead.
No, I do.
Right.
Wait, I do.
So you're going the wrong way on the interstate.
No.
Yes, you are.
That's this one?
That's why I wrecked
this car?
You, yes.
This car?
You were going the wrong way.
My husband's driving me home.
You're driving home.
No, he's driving us home.
You were just driving.
No. I was driving. I was like in the. I was in the passenger seat.
Is there anyone else in that car?
No, yeah.
Yeah, there's no one else in the car.
No, okay, maybe not that specific clear, but there was like me and my husband were in one car.
So before we go even further, how many drinks do you think this young lady had?
Oh, they always say two. Or a couple. They always go, a couple. But I'm going to say six or seven.
Yeah, well, the cop actually asked her this question. Mm-hmm. And this was their interaction and the response for this.
Let me ask you a question. How many drinks have you had tonight?
I have like two bars that I've been to tonight that I've had a full drink at. Okay. I had one full drink at my house, and I had two drinks at the bar.
Yeah, they usually go a couple. I want to go back to the first part. This interstate? Like what?
It was rough. I'm going to try to find. I was actually watching the video.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, it is insane how she got behind the wheel.
Oh, my gosh.
She is.
It's just, well, first of all, we all know. I mean, the obvious. Dumb. Don't do it. Stupid.
Yeah.
It's just.
She was talking out of her mind. This was a long video. This is about maybe a 10-minute video.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a lot. Like, I didn't know what she was talking about. I had to cut a lot of this stuff out.
She was just deflecting. She goes, this interstate? And then later she goes, this car?
Yeah, that's a great way to tell if someone is lying and just they're trying to give themselves time. If they just start repeating back a lot of stuff to you.
Yeah. Then,
like, you are clearly, you hear me. You're just trying to find yourself to an answer. The one thing that I'm really holding on to is maybe a good thing within this, and you'll follow me as I say it. Do we know what police department this is from or whatever?
The only thing I know is this is from Tampa.
Okay. So one thing that I know has been happening a little bit more is that people on social media have been kind of creating like fake interactions with the police to kind of just like get interaction, because these things obviously
for the clicks.
Look, yeah. That is hilarious, the audio that you just played. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine someone going, all right, if we build this situation, put it on social media, TikTok, whatever, people will watch it. So I do wonder, especially seeing as we're in.
But everybody got to play a part in it, though, right? If they doing this?
Sure. Right.
Or is this just a.
No. Okay. Like it would be like almost a full skit. And some of them, just off of what I'm hearing, it sounds like it might not be. And I'm holding on to the hope that maybe this is just fake. There wasn't some lady who was driving crazy and then talking about how
I'm looking at the news report.
If it is, it got to be like a set or something.
No, there was a news report. It's bad.
Yeah, you can see the side swipe and all that stuff.
But
I
will say, as a public service announcement, if you find yourself getting upset or getting riled up as you're scrolling social media because of this, like, maybe take a second to ask, is this a real video? Unfortunately, it sounds like this one is.
Yeah, it is.
And then
she's going with her hands. So I was right here, like just really just, and then just sort of like overstating everything.
And if you watch the video some more, you can see her doing a line test.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they just.
I got to see.
Yeah, I think the cops is just trying to do their jobs. You know what? Let's do all of these little tests.
Oh, just to make I'm looking sure. at it now.
Yeah, but she was clearly intoxicated.
Oh, whoa. I thought she was hurtling there for a second.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So thank goodness, man, nobody was hurt. That's good. Because going down the wrong, like the opposite way of the highway, that always ends ugly, man. So thank goodness nobody was seriously hurt.
She was definitely on something because she hit this highway, and still the best thing she could come up with was, nah, but you got to understand, my husband was driving.
Yeah.
You got to understand. It wasn't me. Just
that cop was
else.
Like, is somebody else in the car?
Yeah.
Like, is somebody?
Nope.
Ain't nobody in the car.
He broke out a cop. But can I hear that one more time? Because at first he was talking with like a clear cop voice at first. And then he was like, wait, is anybody in there? Like he went.
You, yes.
This car?
You were going the wrong way.
This car?
My husband's walking me, driving me home. It just really.
Vinny, you're driving home.
No, he's driving us home.
You were just driving.
No. I was driving. I was like in the. I was in the passenger seat.
Is there anyone else in that car?
Hey, yo. Hey. Is someone over there?
And then when she gets busted, she goes, no, I meant earlier.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Earlier.
Yeah.
I waited to sober up before I started driving, clearly.
Right. Yeah, but salute to everybody. Glad nobody was seriously injured in this.
Mm.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of drunk people, as we continue on the mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610, Adrian Bronner, the former boxer, the one I know a lot of people say he was overrated.
Man, a waste of some
talent.
Yeah,
waste
though.
Of talent. Oh, yeah, my goodness. Very entertaining when it comes to press conferences and stuff like that. But he was on a show with Cam and Mace.
What's the name of the show?
It is what it is. Yeah. That's the name of the show.
Yeah, because they're mocking it. It's an ironic name.
How dare you say that Killer Cam is mocking
it? We're going to have to ask Killer Cam and Mace the story behind that.
They're like,
name.
What would be a really silly name for our podcast? I got it. It is what it is.
So he was on It Is What It Is show with Cam and Mace, and they have a moderator by the name of Treasure Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And they call her Stat Baby and all that stuff. So apparently Adrian Bronner was really, really looking at Stat Baby. He couldn't keep her eyes off of it and was saying all type of wild stuff like, oh, you look so good and all this other stuff.
Joe Namathing it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And mind you, she have a boyfriend that I think was there.
He was.
Mm-hmm. He was there. So Cameron was like, yo, chill out. Her boyfriend here, da 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 da. But this is how it sounded, and it got kind of awkward a little bit.
You look so good in person.
Thank you.
For
I
real.
Appreciate that.
Hey, what you waste that? I love you. What a guy. I'm sorry. My bad, y'all. My bad. Hey, Stat, could you stop smiling? Can you stop smiling? You.
Oh, Rabia.
Nah, yo, bro, or some G. Yo, bro, or some G out of.
Oh, my bad.
When I see you taking off some time,
I'm mesmerized by Stat.
Bro,
I did not know you looked that good in person.
My bad, bro. You amazing.
All right, hey, we gonna have to actually go, man. We have to actually go, man. I'm gonna pay you for your time, for beer. I appreciate you. I love you, man.
I'm not doing it again.
Yeah, no. I can't. I asked you the first time. I don't have no problems with you, but I'm going to pay you for your time.
Good for them, first of all.
Yeah, and that's saying a lot coming from Cameron.
Yeah.
Cameron, who, I don't want to say he don't have any morals, but he's usually very open and kind of don't give a F type of attitude.
Yeah.
But, this is embarrassing for Adrian Bronner, man. It looked like he was super drunk or high or something like that. Nah, it looked really bad. And salute to Cam for, you know, standing on business, man.
Yeah, no, I
because a lot of people, I've been around a lot of people who somebody was hitting on somebody else's girl and nobody did anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So salute to him for kind of standing up and just ending the interview. And by the way, he just pulled out a bag of money. A stack of money, like, I'll pay you for your time.
Oh, he did. He literally did.
Yeah. He pulled out some type of little bag and had stacks of money. Here you go, bro.
Wow.
No wonder Adrian Bronner couldn't be a good boxer, because, like, what kind of technique is that?
Like, well, that too. Yeah.
Like, what was the game plan there? I'm just going to get over here and talk all sorts of crazy, and then eventually after the show, we're going to, like, what was he planning on here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I don't know what he was doing, but salute to Killer Cam for standing on business.
Mm.
All right, it's the Mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610. So we talked a lot about Anthony Richardson, and I guess how that draft pick ain't really working out, and we kind of looking at Indy and want to see what they're going to do with that whole situation. How would y'all feel if they made him into like a Taysom Hill tight end type of deal? Do you think that could possibly work? Because he is a freakish athlete.
Yeah.
How would you feel if they did something like that?
And a lot of times when you talk about things like this, there's a number of reasons that people say he should be a quarterback. I mean, he should be a receiver or a tight end or something.
I
think it fits here.
Right, like
I think it does.
We are not falling into the stereotypes of he can't do this because
it's like, Lamar Jackson.
He's not smart enough. He simply has not demonstrated the ability to play quarterback. A fair point comes in on the YouTube page from Ken. He is already injury prone, so we gonna get him in here blocking. that is questionable, but I think you have a better chance of him just flat out being a better version of a football player. As someone who might be able to do some of those kind of Swiss Army knife or really just tight end straight up things there.
Yeah, so Jeff Teague on the Club 520 podcast actually brought this up to Anthony Richards' teammate, Zaire Franklin.
Okay.
And Zaire was not having it.
Bro, going to tight end. Chelsea, stop that. Teague, you on demon today, bro. On that Vegas trip, man.
The DJ
come on,
said
man.
He was like the new Taysom Hill, and I was like,
Nah. We ain't doing that.
But he could though. That's not even no,
he can't.
Though.
No, he can't. First of all, look, let Baker, let Geno, let Jared Goff, let Sam Darnold, let Danny be an example that it ain't never over for a quarterback. When a quarterback got that much talent and they got, we ain't doing that. A. Rich, he's still a part of the squad, too, so
he
ain't
is,
doing
bro.
That.
I'm saying to get him on the field, bro.
Nah, he all right.
He too talented as an athlete not to be on the field.
That quarterback.
Well, he's not.
I do feel like they should look into something like that. I don't know if just sitting behind, just being QB number two or three. Is work. I mean, it's a high draft. I would try to put him out there once in a while and try to do some stuff, some razzle dazzle type stuff.
He's got to want to though. Like that position switch doesn't happen being forced. Like it's just not going to be something that goes over well if he doesn't want to. And if I would, you know, really have a hard time believing that he is willing, at least at this point, to make that switch. I mean, his agent is trying to push to see if they can get a trade at this point. So I think they want to keep trying to be a quarterback. But the rest of us are looking at this like, dog, you were struggling to complete 50% of your passes. This does not look like something that you can make shake.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious. What about something like a wildcat type of situation when you throw him out there?
I don't mind that. In fact, I think I might have used this as a comparison when he was coming out in the draft. I don't mind that Taysom Hill has made a hell of a good career.
I mean, even Terrell Pryor was able to do a little something. Yes, that switch.
He fully switched the receiver too.
I think that's how you sell. Hey, look, you're still going to get a couple reps at quarterback.
Logan Thomas had a good career at tight end as well.
What? How many years Taysom Hill been in the league now, man?
Man, he just
and been, making some money.
Just eating.
That's how you sell it.
The man's got his own money.
The man's got his own money. He's 35 years old.
He did come in the league at like 28.
This is true, BYU. He's in his ninth year. Like, that's how I would say, like, look, we're not saying you're not ever going to play quarterback, but you can make a career if you do this.
Oh, well, once you make that switch, you're not going back to, I don't know that you're, well, I guess you're talking about Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
You got to build up a package for that, which I'm not sure that they will, but, like, even then, I think once you open yourself up to that mindset, you got to be ready to just make that switch. Now, if he does come along to that place, I do think that could be beneficial for him. I understand why all parties involved are going to be in the places that they will, and he's going to try and continue to make it as a quarterback. The problem is, and I'll take this to Zaire Franklin, you got to defend your guy. He's still a quarterback, so I can't be the one out here saying it. However, comparing him to Geno and Baker, all those guys we saw.
All of them show something at
functional
some point.
Quarterbacks, at least at the college level, and then really somewhat at the NFL level before they had to go through that period before they could be comeback players. He hasn't given us that.
Nope.
Even at Florida, we did not see a fully functioning prototype.
What did he play, like 12 games?
52%. He completed 53 or something like that.
Yeah,
man.
So yeah, man. I'd be all cool with it. Like I might go and try and bid on the Anthony Richardson tight end experience. Let me see. Let me get that speed and that physicality.
Yeah. All right, get y'all out of here on this. Special salute to Molly from First
Molly
Take.
Curum.
Oh,
yeah. First Take. She resigned from her role on First Take in ESPN, and it kind of came out of nowhere. I think it kind of shocked everybody.
It's still an unknown in a lot
of ways. So I'm curious to know, do y'all feel like it's a little bit of foul play, or is this maybe some personal, you know, family issues? Or I don't want to say issues, but maybe it's something personal.
I don't know if foul play, I would go there. Just some foul interesting play, things going on.
Foul play, I mean like some FS1 type stuff.
Oh, maybe. Maybe
she can't get along with a coworker or something. If it's something like that, or maybe it's just a family situation where she had to step away.
I know a lot of people have kind of pointed to the various kind of off comments that have been made at times, more joking-wise, but they feel like something that you shouldn't even joke about on TV. I know Stephen A. himself, but some other people have made maybe at Molly's expense. I don't know that that's what it is, and especially because when you see her, the statement that she put out on Instagram, she was like, basically, I wasn't expecting this to get out yet, but, you know, enjoyed my time at First Take, which I don't know if that necessarily precludes her from coming back and doing anything litigious, or if there is something there, but it didn't feel like that was the tone. And one of the last lines that she wrote was stay tuned with a smiley face. So I do wonder if she just got a better opportunity that presented itself that she was wanting to jump at. Either way, again, I said this earlier, I think in the next couple of weeks to a month, we'll get more understanding of what happened and why this
is. Oh, we will.
And I think that I'm waiting for. Yes, Molly Karam, who was on First Take, 832.
Yeah. She was solid, man. Look, I was a Carrie champion guy back in the day. She came in, I felt like she was solid. So salute to her, man.
And it had to be really solid because corralling those dudes when they start getting to arguing and bickering going all different ways is not the easiest thing.
No, not at all.
In the world. So best of luck to Stephen A. doing that himself. Although it makes sense, when you make $40 million a year, you should be able to.
You better
do everything, right? All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. That's Figgy's mixtape, 1:20 p.m. every weekday, right here in the loop. All right, coming up next, I didn't give you the reason why I believe this offense will get better, so I do want to give that, and we'll get ready to hand things off to the fellas of Drive. We'll do that next. Yep, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Getting ready to hand things off to the fellas of the Drive here in a little bit. We appreciate you. Spend a little time with us on a Wednesday. It's a day two of the week. There we go. After a Monday night game, kind of truncated, but the fellas are practicing. In fact, Braxton Berrios, Christian Kirk, both at practice. Actually, the one that got my attention, because I was not expecting it, Jake Andrews also, you said,
Jake
was at
Andrews
practice.
Practicing. How about that? Maybe that changes something.
I don't know.
You would think, right?
Maybe.
Is this the old lose your job because of injury thing?
Or Wally Pipped?
Yeah.
Was he playing that good?
No. No.
Yeah, and this is the thing about watching any like all 22 or whatever. I don't think I was watching specifically Jarrett Patterson and how he played as an individual. So I might need to go back and see how he played and how I judge that with maybe return of Jake Andrews possibly.
That could kind of tell you all you need to know, too. If you didn't notice anything crazy far as his position.
You don't want to be noticed.
Yeah, maybe, but also it might just be
the interior got him a couple of times, just in general.
100%. Like, the thing about it is with any football play, it's one of the beauties of football is just it's such a richness with the dance of 11 guys at any given time and 11 guys on the other side. I very much could be focusing on something else entirely different and miss what's happening on the interior of the offensive line because I'm micro-focused on something else. So I might circle back around and see that. I might not. Who knows? That's how things go sometimes. But another day of practice, and those guys are out there, so that is interesting. I did mention this during the show, and you were a little bit shocked that I had this perspective, or maybe you just disagreed with it. I do feel confident that this offense will get better over the season from this point.
Based on what?
I think first and foremost, this feels like base camp. Now, I do feel like I was hoping for a higher starting point for this offense, but it does feel like, these are famous last words, like it doesn't get worse than this.
Oh, wow, we're going there.
For the
it
offense.
It can't get worse, Figgy. It can't get worse. I'm not saying that you're necessarily wrong.
That's why I added the caveat there. Look, if it needs to be the Reggie Attitude jinx that you guys ultimately blame me for later on, if it doesn't get worse, I will have to hold that. But it does feel like this is the rudimentary level of what is supposed to be a relatively, I'm probably making too much at this point, not the complexity of this offense, but a relatively complex offense. And you could see the instances where CJ is really working through the complexities of this and the things that are kind of holding him within the true progressions and some of those things that I imagine with more time you get more comfortable with. I think you see some of it in small ways with some of these skill players mm-hmm. that maybe that they're dealing with, and hopefully with more time they get a level of familiarity with. And I think just generally they should find plays that at least work better than others. And if we believe Nick Kelly to be baseline competent, mm-hmm. you should lean more into more of the things that work, as they're still working from a place where it doesn't seem like they have that early on.
You just hit on the one thing that I could hold on, I could hope for. I don't think it's necessarily like they're going to get better because the line is going to play better. I think all signs point to this line cannot improve. It's one of those lines that they've already been established of what they are.
And I hope you know that I respect you enough to not lie like that to your face.
Yeah. You know? So the offensive line talent is not going to get better. Wide receiver, it could easily with new players on the field.
And
running back, it could mm-hmm. easily. Tight end, I don't know. I mean, they're bringing in guys that have never caught a ball and bringing them right to the 53-man roster. All that said, though, the one place where I would agree with you, it can get better, and it's a big ask, is play calling. And giving this quarterback and this offense more of a chance to do things that aren't as predictable. I can't get over that. 83% of the time, 83% of the time they were in shotgun, they passed the ball. That is high school. That's high school stuff.
Yeah, and so if you just give me high school level competence.
So change that up. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The coaching of play calling and approach and disguising and all that. That's the only hope you have, and I don't know how strong that is.
No, I mean, this is something that we talked about, right? When I said that they put themselves a lot of question marks headed in mm-hmm. that they had to hit on. They didn't hit on all of them, but immediately they didn't hit on them. There's still opportunity over time to get there. Again, the question comes back to how high of a ceiling does this ultimately reach, and how quickly do you get there? Because, again, what we've seen with the kind of unfortunate for Houston's side of this, the start of the season where you're 0-2 and the Colts are 2-0, it can get out of hand pretty quickly with what is kind of a sprint of a season somewhat if you don't get up to speed sooner rather than later. And that's where I understand D'Amico getting on the we're close, because you have to keep guys in that mentality of, hey, you've got to get these wins, and you've got to get to this place so you don't fall behind.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
Yeah. All right. So let me see, as we welcome in, courtesy of D&M Auto Leasing, the fellas of the drive, Clint and Ron. If Ron has any level of disagreement with my stance on the idea that I do still see the offense getting better as this thing continues on. He's thinking about it. Basically, my stance is, it feels like
you're saying you can see them getting better.
I still believe that they will get better.
Oh, will get better. Hell, they got to.
Yeah.
Like I refuse to believe that it gets worse than this.
I thought you were saying from like you're seeing them getting better.
Oh God, no.
Oh, no. I was gonna. Yeah, I didn't have.
But I think it's still an interesting question. Like,
yeah, but
the offensive line.
Yeah, better. But like better, like to what?
Mm-hmm. And that was a question that actually came in on the text line is, do you see in an end game, like the high water mark for whatever this team is, and obviously the offense is a large part of what we're doing with this calculation, of being at the level that we were expecting them to be at by the time you get to week 17 in playoffs? And I'm like, I can't really see the high water mark of this offense. Maybe I just don't have enough imagination, but I don't see the high water mark of this offense getting you to a place where you can beat the Baltimore Ravens and the Buffalo Bills. That's the thing that is the most frustrating at this point.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.